It's exciting to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. You walk around in it all day long, don't you? You walk around in the house of the Lord all day long. You got a temple that you're carrying around with you. A little carton, a God carton. You might have your picture on the carton, you know. Where, have you seen this person? God's always knows exactly where you are, doesn't he? You know, Job said in right in the middle of his troubles, in Job 23, verse 10. I love this. I kind of ran across this. You know, these are the kind of things you just kind of run across accidentally. I mean, if you're reading in the middle of Job is like being out in the middle of a swimming pool in the deep. Right? You know, and so he says in 23:10, you find these and you're going, I never knew that was there. Well, you're not out here very much. You know, God said sometimes God will find you out in the middle of the deep somewhere. Right? And so what he says in 23:10 is this. Job is saying this right in the midst of his friends trying to figure out what sin he committed to get into all this trouble. And he says, for he knows the way that I take. Talking about Job, talking to his friends about God. For he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, when this is all over, I will come forth as gold. When he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Boy, I hope I make it at the end. No, it's not what he said. He said, I will come forth as gold. Is that you? Yeah. Say, that's me. Yeah. When this particular one is over, I'm going to come forth as gold. That's so powerful and so exciting because Job knew the... Where's Lori? Job knew the covenant that he had with God. Even though he didn't know quite how to accomplish it all, you know, he was always doing sacrifices and bowing and afraid all of his kids were going to sin. So he's trying to take care of all of his kids. You know, that's what all that was about. And God really kind of put a stop to all that and just kind of told Job finally at the end, you know what? You really don't know the back end of this thing. You know, where were you when I made the behemoth? You know, where were you when all this stuff took place? Where were you when I made the snowflake? He was doing all that. We're talking about Ephesians 5 today, by the way. And so I don't know why we're off into this. But I just want you to know that God is always on your side. He's always in favor of you. He knows your sins. He knows you sin every day. And yet he knows that his provision for your sin is more than enough. And so you just receive that every single day. And when anything ever comes up, says, you know, well, you did it now. Or you stepped in it. You're in a big heap of trouble. You know what? That's the devil. He's the guy who encouraged you to get in it, step in it in the first place, isn't he? Well, you know, if you'd just try this, you'd like it, and God won't mind too much. No, what happens is that you mess up, and God saw it. Yeah, he saw it. And he said, you know how much I love you. You know how much I've paid for you. This song we sang about the Lamb of God, Jesus became the Lamb of God. Your only son, no sin to hide, and you have sent him from your side to be led by you, to take care of us. I forgot the words. But to be the Lamb of God. Hello, Chris. Praise the Lord. Good thing you don't have a big auditorium. You can see anybody who comes in. Isn't that great? Amen. But I want you to know that God knows right. He knows the way that you take. He knows right exactly where you are on your road, on the path. I don't. Unless you come and tell me. And tell me all your problems. You know, I don't know. But God knows right where you are. Say it. God knows right where I am. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Amen. That's, you know, and he doesn't try you to destroy you. He tries you to prove you to bring you into his promise. And that's what Ephesians chapter 5 talks about. Yeah, you thought it talked about don't sin. Amen. But what it talks about is walking in the presence of God and in the promise. That's what Ephesians is all talking about. You know, you think it says, well, you probably shouldn't do this sin and you probably shouldn't do that sin and you probably should avoid this one for sure. You know, but he's talking about what you have in Christ Jesus, just like he did at the very beginning of the chapter. Amen? So that's what we want to do. And we want to build ourselves up. Ever-increasing faith. We want to build ourselves up. Because every day the enemy wants to come in and says, you know what? Things are not looking good. You know, the the president we got is probably not your favorite, you know, or the things that are going on down there at the border. That's just a big, big awful thing. I can't even turn on the TV anymore and enjoy anything. All the news is always bad. And you know what? If you live in this world, it's full of bad news. Amen? Amen. Jesus said that. He said, in the world you'll have bad news, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, he said tribulation. Well, that's bad news, isn't it? In the world, you have bad news, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's exciting. That's exciting. If you'll just believe it. If you'll just get into this good news here, you know, you'll have a lot better time than if you were always constantly looking at the bad news. Well, I was just watching TV. I was just watching some show. Well, if you happen to do that these days, did you notice that every show talks about the bad news? They just bring it all into the show. You know, well, this was comedy, or well, this was drama, or this was, you know, some genre that, you know, sci-fi or something, you know. It all includes the same stuff. Right? It's amazing. It all includes all the stuff that they're pushing on you these days, you know, which is anti-God, which is ungodliness, which is sin and wickedness. You know, they've got to have a homosexual relationship in every show that you watch. They just, you know, you're just going to pile it in there and give it to you and feed it to you and say, well, this is just normal, wonderful stuff. No, it's not. It's evil and wicked. Amen? God's already said that. Am I on Facebook yet? Yeah. It's wicked. It's ungodly. You know, and God loves you so much that He says, don't do that. I said, God loves you so much that He said, don't do that. I said, God loves you so much that He said, don't do that. God's not angry with that person. God's angry with the sin, but so He's angry with the devil who introduced the sin, who introduced this. Well, this might be a good idea. That's no worse than the tree in the garden, is it? Well, you know, this looks like it might be a good idea. Why don't we try this out? And that's how every sin comes along. The devil comes in and says, well, this might be interesting. Why don't we cut this people's arms off? You know, why don't we try this? Why don't we see how this might work? Amen. Have you ever had such a thought in your mind? Well, let's just try this and see how this works. Amen. It's the devil. It's the devil. He just loves to destroy people. Amen. But you and I, and Jesus came that they might have
life.
Say it again. Jesus came that they might have
life.
You know why Jesus saved you? So that you might meet other people, so you could tell them that they might have
life.
Hallelujah. That's who you are. You're just Jesus in another carton. Amen. You're just Jesus in a little body, walking around, you know, Cooper's around, just being Jesus everywhere. Well, I could never be Jesus. You're a liar. Danny, you're to be Jesus to everybody you see. This first verse in this chapter is going to say that. Amen. You know, it's easy to preach and not get back to the Scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you having fun yet? I'm just having a lot of fun. Amen. Okay, look here now. In chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, now, back here, if you read the first 1, 2, and 3 chapters, you know, he's talking about the fact that here you are in Christ Jesus, and here's how much He's done in you, through you, for you. But this continues again in chapters 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. This is what you look like as a believer. As someone who has Jesus Christ and the living Spirit of God, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting, and I missed one. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore a follower of God. Now the word follower there means to be an imitator. Now, you know, a lot of folks in the in theological circles, especially those where Jesus does it all, like we are, to be an imitator of God would be like, well, you can't do that. That'd be works to be an imitator of God. No, but you're an imitator as dear children. What do dear children do? Are they attempting to please by actions because they're afraid they won't get liked. Or when they're little children, they just kind of follow you around and just go exactly where you go and do exactly what you do. You pick up a spoon, they pick up a spoon. You know, you walk out the door, they walk out the door. You try to put on your boots and they put on their boots. They are followers of God because they love you. They're followers of you because they love you. You are they want to be like you. They just want to be like you. They supply, and you are their source, and they just want to follow you around, be like you. You know, they're not afraid of getting whacked in the bottom if they don't do something. I mean, eventually that happens because they start doing other stuff. They quit following you. When you quit following them, then you got to kind of arrange some other means of encouraging that. But to start with, they're going to follow you around. Like you know, I see Gabby follows David and Mary around. You know, she's still ready to do everything they do. And she's not getting too far yet, Dave, is she? Not too far? That's good. But these are followers of God, imitators of God, because that's the heart and the desire that's only in their hearts is to be a follower of God. When you hear the Holy Spirit call you, and when the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells on the inside, you have a call from God to be an imitator of God. You have a call from God to be like Him. That's what He puts on the inside of you. He changes you. He's taken out of you that old stony heart, and He's put into you a heart of flesh. He's taken out the heart of wickedness, and He's put a heart of goodness and love on the inside of you. Did you know that? He has put, you are not attempting to overcome the flesh like an obstacle course in the military. You are not attempting to overcome the flesh by your strength, by your power, and make a good grade, and make a good gold star. Be an imitator or be followers of God as dear children. He gives you the qualifier. He qualifies it and shows you how to be a follower of God, just as somebody who you know who loves you and who has all of your best interest at heart. His love is for you and in you and through you. And everything that He does is to bring you along to give you the very best. Amen? That's what Job said. When He has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Do you have that expectation? I do. I have that total expectation. And when I don't, that's a lie, and I just kick it off to the side. I don't believe that in Jesus' name. Depression, guilt, and angst are those things which will waste all of your time. They'll waste all of your time. They'll waste every minute of the day. Amen. If you walk in joy, peace, and thanksgiving every moment of the day, God is going to begin to move in you and do mighty and powerful things in you. Amen. Do not let evil, wickedness, and frowning, just complaining, yes. Well, it just kind of ends up in complaining, though, you know. Just taking the thought. The Bible said, take no thought for yourself, right? Take no thought for your life. What am I going to put on? What am I going to put on? Jesus said that. What am I going to put on? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Take no thought. Here comes a thought. It's coming your way. And, you know, it's kind of like when the baseball is coming. What do you do with it? You knock that thing out of the park because it's coming at you. It's coming at you. Take no thought for yourself. Take no thought for your life. Because when the thought comes, it's coming because the enemy is bringing that thought to destroy you or to distract you or to bring you off onto the side. Okay? That's what he's trying to do. Listen, it's important that you hear this. That when the enemy comes in with a thought, he wants to destroy you and keep you from fulfilling what God has for you as a son and daughter of God and the mission that he has you on to give life to those people who come your way. Amen? All right. So be ye followers of God as dear children. Just follow him around. Just dotter around behind him, you know. And just follow him around, and he's going to lead you and show you what things he wants you to do. Amen? Oh, here's another toughie. So you're as beloved children, all right? So be ye followers of God. Therefore, because of what he did before, is he's provided apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that you might walk in unity and godliness in the church, right? That's over in from chapter 4. So you're follower of God as dear children and walk in love. How can you do that? Same thing. Walk in love. You're walking in love because His love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you, Romans 5. All right? And walk in love. So you're going to walk in love because you are indwelt by love. Right? You're going to walk in love because He has indwelt you by Himself. You know, He is love. And He is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. So you're going to walk in love as Christ has also loved us in the same way. You're just going to enjoy that love and disperse that from place to place to place to place. Amen. That's such a powerful thing. Amen. You're just a walker in love. Well, I'm not sure. You know. See, the problem is we read these things and when we get out trying to do the backstroke, you know, out in the middle of the pool, we kind of say, what am I doing? Or I'm in trouble. You're not in trouble. You're in God. I heard that somewhere. Sorry, it's not original. You're not in trouble. You're in God. Amen. I mean, Brother Schambach used to say it, said, you don't have any trouble, all you need is faith in God. So walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and He has given Himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So that sweet-smelling savor that Jesus was is the same sweet-smelling savor that you are. Oh, no, this can't be true. No, you are the same sweet-smelling savor. You're like the gentle, wonderful incense aroma coming up into the nostrils of God. Oh, no, not me. I know I've screwed up too bad, you know, and I said the word screwed up, and that's an ugly word, and, God didn't like that either, and oops, I did it again, you know. Hey, did you know that when He sees you, He sees Jesus? When He sees you, He sees Jesus. He just is so enjoying your presence when you come into His, you know, He just loves it when you just come over and spend time in His presence because that's who you are. You're His child. Amen. You put hope and faith in the Lord Jesus, in His sweet-smelling savor, and so you're it. Amen. Now He says, he's going to talk about those buts that you either see or think or are exposed to. All right? Now, you got to remember that when you're a follower of God as dear children, you are that child. Okay? You are that child. You are not an adult. You are not a responsible adult Christian. Obviously. And so what He wants you to do is follow Him as a child. Now, later on He talks about mature fathers. Well, those are the folks who have been walking in these things, that they're used to it. And they're walking in it. But how many have known a mature father to mess up? I have. You know. And, you know, I'm not going to claim that, but I've messed up. Amen. And so to know that you're always a little child. You've always got a little child. Any guys who are over 60 here know there's always a little child. Any wives who have got husbands over 60 in here know that there's a little child in there. Amen? Well, there's one. Okay. You can sit, you can socially distance from that husband, and then you can say yes. Say amen. You know. But the fact is, there is a sinner in this body because your body has sin in it. Your body has sin in it. All right, it has that. You know, how many of you got a mole right there? You know, or something. You just got something that you're just not pleased with. There's in a body. There are things that God is not pleased with in that human flesh, in your soul. There are things that are still kicking around that have not been dealt with yet. But God's dealing with those daily through His Word and through His promises. Amen? So that's what He's working on and working through. So, let's look here. Over in chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." As becometh saints. As is appropriate or as would be for so folks who are sinless. So fornication and uncleanness and covetousness doesn't appear in saints. Doesn't appear in that the new man. All right? Who's a saint? Well, we're saints, but I thought we have noticed that we sin. So how can we be saints and sin at the same time? It's because you still have an old body, but you have a new man. You have a new man, and on the inside, those things don't appear. Those things don't even exist, right? So let not these things be happening in the old man as the new man, because the new man is not who those things are. So you have a distinction between your old man and your new man, right? Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient. I love that word. Not convenient. Which are not, not as becoming saints. All right? So those things are popping up. And how many know we live in a world that, like we mentioned before, that TV just makes everything okay, right? And when you continue to work among and live among people, and people tend to continue in sin, people who are ungodly, people who have no knowledge of the Lord, and we're following into that society. We left that society when Christianity became a major force in the world. Coming out of the Roman world, coming into the Catholic thing, into the Catholic realm, but that was also, most of that was done by force, wasn't it? It was culture and force. Culture and force eliminated. It works out. It's like spankings, they kind of work, you know, on little kiddos. They kind of work until they get too big to spank. Right, and then they will either hear the word of the Lord, or they will go off on their way, and life will give them a hard time. Right, eventually, even though sinning and wickedness and swearing and all of these things take place, you know, as the undercurrent during those years in between when Christianity was at the forefront, at the top, and not saying the leaders were holy either. It's just everybody was under the force to behave and to get rid of, to not have all of these wicked sins. Got news for you. They were happening. It just wasn't outward. But all of these things were taking place. We are coming back into a world where these things are now just the norm and the acceptable. These uncleanness. These things that are specifically talked about by Paul in here, all of these things were taking place and they were normal behavior that was seen and observed all through in Paul's day, in Peter's day, in Jesus' day. You know, the Roman cultures, the Greek cultures. People were forever, you remember talking about Mars Hill, they always wanted to come and hear about some new thing. Well, it wasn't always a religious thing. It might have been a sexual thing. It might have been some kind of a new wrinkle on how to live with five wives or three men or, you know, whatever it might have been. You think this is new today. This is not new. These things have always been. People have been experimenting on other people for hundreds and thousands of years. This is sin. And that's what he's talking about here. And because you are a follower of God, as a dear child, He comes on the inside of you and He takes those things and He removes that desire on the inside of you. But you still have an outward man that is still tempted by these things. And you say, not me. Well, okay, good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. I'm glad for you. You got, there's something else in here that's going to cover you. Believe me. There's something that will get your sin. Amen. So he's saying that all of these things, the filthiness, the foolish talking or jesting, all of those things, you know, he talks at another place about they either participate in these things or they take pleasure in them that do them. Or they don't mind. Or it's like, oh, that's interesting. So they take, you know, taking an interest in these things is as much wickedness and sin as is participating and doing them. Amen. It is. You know, because all you're not focusing on the covenant, as Lori mentioned earlier, you're not focusing on the covenant, but you're focusing on what's happening in the world. And if I can just avoid doing the things in the world, maybe I'll just observe them casually. No, you want to continually be back in the Word because you are a son and daughter of God. You are a son and daughter of God that you are ministering the gospel to the people in the world. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's why you're sitting in this seat. That's why you're breathing, by the way. That's why you're breathing. That's why you're still here, is because in you dwells the holiness of God. And you are a man or woman of God and declaring the gospel to the entire world. Amen. Verse 5 says, for this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person... Boy, this is a terrible sermon, isn't it? But apparently, it is. This is all in the Scripture. Amen. I've been delivered from all of these things. Amen, haven't you? I've been delivered from all of these things. But apparently, there are some folks in various levels of trouble on these things. And these things are those things which we must preach. These things are those things which we must... Because if somebody is involved in these works of wickedness and they continually walk in works of wickedness, then they run the risk of... If they are a Christian, they run the risk of one day the enemy taking them and getting them to a position where it says, you know what, I'd rather do this than follow Jesus. And you know, I'm sorry to say, you could actually do that. The Scripture does teach that, is that if you walk, you can walk away from the Lord. As much as you received Him, especially over in Hebrews, it talks about the fact that you can walk away, not as a baby Christian, but somebody who has experienced the love of God and the power of God and the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Somebody who has known God of a truth. And we know that. We've seen that in these recent days. You've heard stories of people, well, I decided I just didn't believe in God after all. And this is a guy who's got 18 books. And I mean, he has literally been a beacon and an icon for people to follow, to hear, and to know that God is who He says He is. And yet, down the road, now they have a bunch of followers, and they have now decided, well, you know, I decided I don't know God. I don't know that God exists after all. They are destroying the work of God. They're destroying they're tying a millstone around these children's necks. And the Scripture says that they are destroying the faith of little ones. Little ones might not be kids, but I mean, might be young Christians who have heard them and who have walked under their teaching. And all of a sudden, if they're leading that person astray, the Bible says it's better a millstone be tied around their neck and they'd be thrown into the sea, because they're destroying somebody who has had a childlike faith in God. So this here is talking about these kind of acts that we must be clear This is wickedness. This is evil. This is against God. Amen? You know, there's so many times that we try to allow... We want to teach somebody the gospel, the goodness gospel of Jesus, but we ignore naming sin. Amen. We ignore naming sin. God says name it. So we don't teach here, ignore sin. Amen. In the sense that sin is not something you should avoid. What we say here is sin doesn't have rule over you. And it is not what you are working on yourself to clean up. But you walk into the presence of God and say, God, I cannot get rid of this. You have to do it. And I thank you that you're doing it. Amen? You are not under a pressure to remove sin yourself. But God is going to remove it in you, through you, for you. But to ignore it as if it is not it's no big deal. No, it's not what God's saying. He's never said that. In fact, it will lead people into death. It will lead people astray and into death. That's why we have pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles and teachers. Is so that we may all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So he's continuing this message. So neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, here's what you're doing, is giving of thanks. You know, we become involved in individual, in conversations with folks who are non-Christian with an eye toward ministering to them the love of Jesus, and we get in a group. Well, the group begins to move the other direction. They begin to move off into foolish talking, jesting, profanity, lewd talk. You know, and for us to kind of go along with it and kind of keep standing there and becoming a participant in it, no, don't allow that. Don't allow that. Because you are to be strange. Amen. I'm to be strange in their midst. Amen. I mean, we have that so much. We have that in politics. You know, we have kind of a strange mixture. We've got conservatives, you know, but we also have conservatives who are just sinners. I mean, they believe in lower taxes, less government. You know, I mean, you can believe in all that just so you can be profligate. That's so you can be. I learned that word somewhere. It means so you can just do what you want. You can become a libertine. I'm into liberty. Why? So I can just sin. Right? Amen. So we got a lot of Republicans who are like that. You know, now we do have a lot of Republicans who are Christian. They believe God. They believe that Jesus is calling us to come in and preach righteousness in the legislature and pass righteous laws. But you have another bunch. You know, that's why they call it the big tent. Big tent is you get all kinds of people. The church is not a big tent. Hello. I said the church is not a big tent. Church is just you. It's just you and Jesus. Amen? So what I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you, is don't allow these things to overtake your mind. He says, let not. Because they come in. They're coming in. They're going to come in and they want to take a seat next to you. Put their arm around you. You know, sin just likes to come in and say, hey, have you seen this show? Have you seen this? Have you considered... how, you know, it might be okay to hang out with so-and-so or hang out with these people or go out to lunch with these folks, you know. And what the enemy wants to do is get you to that tree again, right? Huh? Hey, did God say? You know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. No, sin is a big deal. Sin's a big deal because it'll draw you away from growing up in the Lord, right? It'll draw you away. It'll draw you away from your spouse. It'll draw you away from your kids. It'll draw you away. Sin will draw you away. What you allow will draw you away from the Holy Spirit, from the living God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you're not... Listen, you got to distinguish between God not liking you because you sinned. That's not true. But you know this... is that when sin comes, you can say no. You can say, excuse me. You can say, excuse yourself from that opportunity. Amen? And it's highly recommended that you do that. Because then you don't have both the new man and the old man having a fight. The old man should always be beating, the new man should always be beating up the old man. Amen? The new man is always beating up. The new man is always stronger. Listen, I want to tell you. The new man is always stronger than the old man. Because the old man is dead. Hallelujah. I mean, how come you're letting a dead guy beat you up? Right? How can you be letting a dead guy beat you up? Yeah. See, because that old man is dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How does that work? And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means have a bunch of word in you at the same time. You know, no matter what comes up, I've got the word of God on the inside of me. All right? So, recognizing the works of the flesh contrasted with the fruit of the Spirit. Recognizing, seeing the works of the flesh in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit, which is operating on the inside of you. All right? Knowing that the fruit of the Spirit are born from knowing God and meditating on His Word and His love for us and our fellow believers and those in the world. All right? His love for us, our fellow believers, and those who are in the world. So now I wrote some notes, so I'll just read them. Otherwise, I'll forget to read them. Reproving the sins of sinners and believers alike, exhorting them to walk in wisdom as those who keep their mind and body under for physical and mental benefits. Walking circumspectly. Circumspectly means like all the way, looking all the way around, considering everything all the way around you, right? Considering everything that's coming your way. You got this new thing in these new cars. You can punch a little button that says view. And it's, I don't know how they do it. There's a little camera. And it goes all the way. It looks on the ground, all the way around. The front, the side, and the sides, and the rear of the vehicle. That's amazing. I've never seen that before. But it's looking circumspectly, making sure something's not going to come bite you from behind, or that you're not going to be running over something that you can't see, or something jumping up on the sides of you that you can't see. See, walking circumspectly. Because the enemy comes in all kinds of different ways, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Yes. And so walking circumspectly, watching with care to avoid the hazards of sinful actions and meditations. And meditations. And meditations. Let's think about that for a minute. No, let's not. Let's just pitch that out the window. You know, here comes a thought. You know, Martin Luther used to say this. He said, you can have a bird fly over your head, but you don't have to let it build a nest in your hair. You know, that's thoughts. Thoughts are like that. They can just, what was that? You know, and you'll recognize that. You know, that's an opportunity for temptation. That's a temptation that might come. It's, glad I didn't see that. Glad I didn't get involved in that. But then there's the other temptation that comes and sits right on your shoulder and says, hey, how are you? Can I speak to you for a moment? No. You know, and you want to just eliminate that thought because that thought just immediately, you recognize that thought immediately, right? Keep me from presumptuous sins. Amen. Well, Pastor Dave's talking that we shouldn't sin, so we should be real careful about sinning. Well, yeah, I kind of am. Because I want you to be free. I don't want you to be taken over by things that you allow. Right? A lot of time we allow stuff. Amen. A lot of time we allow stuff and don't allow that. Amen? You ever been there? I've been there. It's like you just allowed something, you know, and it just, and it takes up, I told you about guilt taking up a bunch of time. Well, sin will take up a bunch of time too. Amen. It will. And it doesn't even have to be gross sin like these. Some sins are just time wasters, right? Because later we'll talk about redeeming the time, right? You know, big thing it is. Binging, right? Binging on TV. You know, now you don't have to just watch a 30-minute show or an hour show. You watch the whole season. I mean, that's 26 shows. It used to be 26. Now it's about 12. In one day. All day long. Or, hey, here's the big one. You can watch a whole series. 7 seasons. Get your popcorn. Turn the lights out. Pull the blinds. I have not done that. Is Janet here?
Janet has
done. No, she has not done it. I thought she was going to tell on me or something. All right. No, because all of these things can take up all your time. Amen. Barbara, yeah. Praise the Lord, yeah. Was Larry helping? Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, now Maya's, he's standing up. He's fessing up right now. He's closer to the Facebook camera than I am. Praise the Lord. Well, man, we got people just running. We got people running out the doors. Praise the Lord. This is dangerous to preach these things. All right. Praise the Lord. Because we hadn't even got to the bad part yet. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Uh-oh. This you know this, you do know this, you know this. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Wow. That's somebody who is, this is their fruit, all right? Doesn't mean somebody who used to do that, who got saved, who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, totally redeemed, totally clean, totally been delivered from all of those things. But somebody who is continuously involved in these particular, in these sins. There is no fruit. There is no evidence that the Holy Ghost, that the living God, is in charge in their life. And so what he's saying here, he's not proclaiming somebody's going to hell or somebody is not going to make it into the kingdom of God or has no inheritance, but he's going to say the person who continues in these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. So look into it. He's just encouraging you to look into it. If this is what you see when you're looking in the mirror, look into these things. Ask Jesus. If you believe that you're a Christian, that you've received Jesus, ask Him about this. Lord, deliver me from these things. Take these things from me. And maybe they're not as gross, but those things are in you. But you see things that you're not happy with from the heart. Oops, from the heart. You see things that you are not happy with from the heart, and you say, God, work on this. I mean, many of us have tried to undo a lot of sins. And you know what? You find that if you're doing it, it's in the flesh. And you're not able to keep it up. Now, when he says avoid those things, it's just don't walk into it. Don't step into it. Here's an opportunity. Just walk the other way. Amen? The opportunity to walk into it, just turn. Walk the other way. Say, no, I'm not going to walk into that. But if you find yourself with a besetting sin, with trouble, get help. Amen. Come into the presence of God personally, individually. Say, God, help me. Deliver me. Work in me to get rid of this sin. And I love having kids here because I can tell them that it can start when you're a kid. You have opportunities to get into sins and into habits and practices that will lead you deeply into wickedness. You have opportunities to do that as you're a young person, because you meet all kinds of people. Just like you meet all kinds of people at work and all kinds of people in the grocery store, you meet all kinds of people at school. And they have all kinds of beliefs. Today in the schools, we're having to be very cautious about who's teaching what in our schools. You know, we have to make, I mean, if you have school board elections, I would recommend that you pay attention to school board elections, because they are independent school boards. And another, but they say that, but there is there are state agencies which give top-down mandates for what needs to be included in curricula. And you have to watch out for that. You have to look into that and make sure that things are not being taught to your children or suggested to your children, that they're okay, that these things are acceptable with your child in that school and in that classroom, and they're not talking to you about it. Same things are true in city government. That, you know, everybody needs a place to live. I agree with that. I don't want people out on the street, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're into. I don't want you out on the street. I want you to be able to have a job. You know, I don't want you to not have a job, and I don't want you to not have a place to stay, and I don't want you to not be able to go out to eat, you know, or whatever. I just don't want you teaching my kids the things that are wicked. I don't want you telling me that this is okay, that your sin is okay, that this sin is okay, and broadcasting it and telling me and telling my world that this sin is okay. It's not. You are coming against God. So, pay attention. I'll encourage you. Pay attention. Well, we just let that school board election go by. Do you know how many people vote in school board elections? Two. You know, you get you and your husband, and you can probably make a big difference in the school board election. You know, if this room of people would vote in the city election, you could probably change who the mayor is going to be. This room right here is 20 people, whatever it is, 20, 30 people. I mean, if you believe, same thing is true of your school board. I encourage you. Pay attention. Look into it. Because you're godly. If the righteous rule, the people, the Christians rejoice. No. When the righteous rule, God says the people rejoice. All of them. Amen? And when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Ugh. That's what they're doing right now. You know, they're mourning right now. Right? So, and if it's in your hand to do good, it's in this country, it's in your hand to do good. Some countries, no, you don't even get a choice. They just put people in and you don't get to vote. You don't get to work for the person who is the righteous person. Right? And so, but here, it says if it's in your hand to do good and you do it not, to you it's sin. You're loving your neighbor by putting in a righteous person in your local leadership. Right? You're loving your neighbor. You're blessing them by putting in somebody who believes in God and loves God. How'd we get off on that? May 1st, by the way. You know, early voting starts tomorrow. Early voting starts tomorrow. It goes for a couple of weeks, and then voting day is on May 1st. I think that's a Saturday, I think. So check that out and get into it. All right? Praise the Lord. So he says, so nobody who's got these problems has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So what you want to do is encourage somebody. You find them in somebody you love, and they may not even be a Christian. You said, you know, and if you know what they're into, encourage them. You know, they don't have to believe you, but you're just the messenger. You know, I really love you. I love working with you. I love being your friend. But there are certain things that you need to probably consider stopping in your life. And you need to consider your relationship with God. Same thing with family members. Amen. Same thing with family. I love them. You know, I got to stop them. At least, you know, step in and make a message delivery. But you don't do it because you don't love them. You love them, absolutely. And that's what you want to do, is just go in and encourage them and say, you know, you need to step away from that. Because it does bring death and destruction, even personally and individually. Wickedness and sin brings death and destruction, anger, hatred. It destroys a person, even physically and mentally. It destroys a person, much less, or much more, the fact that they want you want to see them in heaven. You want to see them have a relationship with God, have a fulfilling and joyous life, not a life of destruction. Their family falling apart because of their sin. Sin, families will fall apart because of sin, just because it's sin. Doesn't matter whether the families of believers, family of believers or not. Sin will destroy families. That's why there's, you know, divorces everywhere. That's why you have children running off everywhere. I didn't mean to have a downer of a message, but God's good and He loves you. And He wants to see you and your family and those around you filled with the love of God. So, he begins here by saying, be you followers. Starts out with you, doesn't it? Be you followers of God as dear children. And then he begins to talk about sin that others may walk in, or that you may walk in, and you want to walk away from it and avoid it. It says, verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't let somebody just it's okay. It's, you know, God loves us anyway, and God's a forgiving God. And it's not the issue that God's not a forgiving God. Is these things will destroy you. These things will destroy you. You continue to walk in them, they will destroy you. So don't let anybody deceive you with meaningless words. Verse 7, be not partakers with them. For you were sometimes, or originally, formerly, in the darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or demonstrating what is acceptable to the Lord. We talked about this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Well, that's a hard word, brother. Do you love them? Reprove the works. That is, come against them. Don't let them just go by and be okay with it. You're not okay with it. And it's not because you're a goody-two-shoes and you think everybody should be sweet and nice and not sin and not do anything bad. No, these are things that destroy people and keep them out of the kingdom of God. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things. In other words, there are things that there are things you wouldn't even want to verbalize that go on in various places. Some of the human trafficking that goes on. You can't close your eyes. I mean, if there are people who are working against that, support them. You know, there are people who are working against those things, you know, all the time. And they know things that you don't even know. For it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Okay. For whatsoever does make manifest, exposes, is light. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the light of the world. You just show up, and there is going to be an exposure. If you just show up, there's going to be an exposure of sin. Amen? I'm telling you, this is who you are. You, when Jesus showed up, you know, demons flee. When you show up, demons flee. Because you're filled with the living God. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you walk around believing that, knowing that, confessing that, declaring that? I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Wherever I go, the devil has a fit. He just can't even stand. He can't even stand in my presence because I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the living God. All right? So whatever does expose is light. And you are that light. Wherefore, he says, awake you that sleep. That's Isaiah 61. Awake, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So, it says somebody's sleeping. Huh. It says somebody's sleeping. Awake. See, you can be awake. You can be sleeping just doing your daily humdrum. Amen. Can't you? You know, just doing your daily what you do. You can be asleep. But the Lord says, awake, sleeper. Rise from the dead. Rise from the dead. And Christ shall give you light. He'll manifest. He'll show up. The light will show up and things will begin to manifest in your presence. Wherefore, he says, awake you that sleep and arise from the dead and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, as we talked about before, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, talked about that, because the days are evil. You could be binging, or you could be redeeming the time. You know, whatever form that takes, whether it's ministering to your neighbors or, you know, doesn't mean you can't watch a show. What it does mean is just don't let it rule you. Don't let sin these sins rule you. Amen? Don't let sin rule you. Some of these we've talked about, don't even let it be named among you. And you, I know you will sin. You will mess up. But there are sins that you stumble into and there are sins that people perpetuate as a lifestyle. Those are the things that we want to help people redeem. Whether it's yourself or whether it's those whom you love or whether it's those who you work with. You want to redeem them because Jesus Christ has already paid the price for all of it. Amen? He has already paid the price for all of it. He has poured out His blood. He has poured out His blood to cleanse every single sin. But the devil doesn't like that. And he likes to throw it in the face of God, doesn't he? He likes to throw it in the face of God. He likes to try attempt to take every person possible out of the hand of God into hell. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So these are the people that have been taught in the Scripture. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you continue in these things? By being filled with the Spirit continually. How do you do that? Spend time in His presence. Spend time in His presence. Whether you're in the car, it doesn't matter what form it takes or when it takes. Just continually having present, being cognizant of the presence of God in every place that you are. Whether it's while you're working, whether it's driving in the car, you know, or whatever it may be, whether you're out in the garden doing your gardening thing, whether you're in between classes or whatever things that you're doing. Whatever things that you're doing, let them be done in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let His His Spirit always be speaking to you, because He is constantly with you. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns. So psalms, got the psalms over here. Got a whole book of them, 150. It'd take you a while to get through them. Could do the include the Proverbs as well. Hymns, singing to yourself, singing in the presence of the Lord. Spiritual songs. You ever do that? Praise God. You know you can sing in the Spirit. The Bible says you can sing in the Spirit. I sing some of the funniest songs in the Spirit. Just the funniest things, you know. Funniest little melodies just come up. But I'm speaking in other tongues. He said, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, his spirit prays and his understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's not talking about one that needs to be interpreted. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I'm, and then verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So I'm just going to sing with the Holy Ghost and just worship Him and thank Him and praise Him. You know, I don't have to come to church to be in the presence of God. Amen. You know that, silly me. A lot of you have your Bible by a chair under a light with a cup of coffee sitting right there by it. Amen. So you're doing all that. I just love the Lord. Amen. Do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I thank you that He loves everybody. Even the people who I'm afraid of sinning themselves into hell. I love them too. I love them too. Do you love them? Jesus loved them. Jesus loved everybody. Jesus loved sinners. Amen. You know, it seemed like the church got to where they hated sinners. Amen. You ever seen that? It seemed like this church hated sinners. Don't you ever be like that. You're not a sinner. God so loved the world. Amen? He so loved the world. So. You can say it like that. Big so. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That He loved, so loved the world that whosoever should believe, just believe on Jesus and His sacrifice that He made, that He shed His blood for them, that they should no longer be dead, but they should be alive. And say what the enemy wants to destroy, God wants to make alive. Amen? So that's why I'm here, and that's why you're here. You know, if you weren't here, I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else. So the main person here is you. The main person here is you. Just so God wants to just share His word with you and share His love with you and share His love with the world because of you. Amen? How shall they hear without a preacher? I don't think it meant me. I think it meant Maya. Amen. Well, God is so good, isn't He? We're going to stop right there. We're going to start talking about something else next time around. We'll follow up with wives and husbands next time. It'd be too hard of a shift. And we'd be here way too long today. Father, we just love You and thank You and praise You for this word today. We thank You. It's a kind of, seems a little hard. But Father, we thank You that You love us so much that You want us to not sin. And You've empowered us to not sin. And You've empowered us to reprove sin in the world, knowing that it's unpopular to reprove sin. Sin is kind of a popular thing. So Father, today we ask You to work in us both to eliminate sin and to teach others that sin will keep them from receiving the fullness of the covenant and keep them from receiving the fullness of Your provisions in Christ Jesus. And who could even lead them who claim to be Christian down a path of destruction to refuse their sacrifice ultimately that they have received through Him. So Father, today, I just thank You for everyone here and everyone who's listening. I thank You for ministering to us by Your Word, by Your promises. Let the Word of God dwell in us richly. Let us meditate upon this Word of God, that it changes us in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Father, that these things are not so once named among us, that we might be those who are powerful ministers of the love of God and the forgiveness that comes through His blood. And we love You and give You praise. Father, if there's anybody here who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, Father, that they would say today, Father, I believe in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. And I believe that through Him and believing in that sacrifice and His resurrection, that I am born again, that I receive life eternal unto myself. And I ask You to fill me, Father, with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and cause me to walk in fullness and the power of Your full resurrected power to live in this world, avoiding sin and preaching the gospel. In Jesus' name, we give You glory and praise. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. Amen. Hallelujah, Larry. Thank the Lord. Are you happy today? Amen. Hallelujah. Does anybody have a word to shout? David?